introduce myself a little bit. I am so glad to be here with you. I am privileged to be able to come here and to be pastor at Connection Church. And I want you to know that as I come to serve you, not the other way around. I come to be able to be a help, to be able to be in assistance, to be able to help to guide and to build you up, to encourage you, whatever I can do to help you. And in that spirit, if you have something that you need, please feel free to contact me. I don't think I actually have a phone number yet. But if you can find me.
Church office.
To do that. And then also, I just want to say, I'm going to ask you your name 10 times. Just keep telling me. And I will learn who you are. But names are not one of my strong suits. So I've been here a couple of days, and already some things are a little bit different. For instance, I can no longer look to the mountains to know where west is. And the roads here don't help. I don't know how many of you have had to use Google Maps to find Connection Church this week. More than once, but that's what I'm doing. If it wasn't for Google Maps, I would probably still be wandering around somewhere since Thursday night trying to figure out this thing. But these are all just, you know, those little differences. Of course, you get used to, you learn a different place, and that's all okay. But there are some things, some differences that we encounter in life that we should not just get used to. And sometimes we do. Sometimes we allow different things, different ideas, different challenges that come up against us, different, you know, voices in this world to speak, and they say things over and over and over until we just start to accept that that's the way it is, and we start to accept maybe that that's the truth, and it's really not. There are things that we just need to not get used to. I wonder, have you ever, you know, had a conversation with someone, and you're talking along for a little while, and you realize that although you're using a lot of the same words, maybe you're not actually saying the same thing. Maybe you actually have very different viewpoints about something, and the more that you talk, you just realize, you know, there's a different worldview, there's a different background, there's a different understanding of life or of this aspect of life in this conversation. And I wonder if you've even ever thought, well, this is because I'm a follower of Jesus, and this person I'm talking to is not. And we see things totally different. We understand life, we understand the world differently. And it seems like sometimes there are, you know, the world around us just has a preconceived idea of what is truth, of what is morality, of what is the purpose of life. And there's just kind of a general idea out there that they just assume that everybody is on board with. The world just assumes, or at least our culture assumes, everybody is on the same track. We all understand, in general, what life's about and how we're going to succeed, where we're going to go. And, you know, they may say, well, okay, yeah, you're a Christian, okay, you follow Jesus. But that's an add-on, right? It's just something that is kind of stuck there. It's what you do on Sundays. But we're still on the same page. And when the world realizes that some people are not, it can react even violently, lash out against someone who would have a different viewpoint, somebody who would say, this is not the way I live, or this is not what my purpose is. Peter put it this way. He started his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and this is from the New American Standard. He says, Peter, an apostle of Christ, to those who reside as aliens, and he lists various provinces, as aliens in basically the known world. So today we could even say the aliens in the world. So the first thing we get here then is that Peter was the first sci-fi writer. Before Isaac Asimov, before Ray Bradbury, it was Peter writing about aliens living in the world around us. Now, really, we understand what he's talking about would be like a national alien. We talk about someone who's moved from one region to another, one culture to another. You know, we might say immigrant, something like that. And
That's actually why I chose the NASB, because he uses the word alien there. Most translations actually use the word exile to describe this. But alien is a lot more fun. And really, I think because of our understanding of immigration and refugees and so forth in the world, maybe the word alien will help us get a fresh take on what Peter is actually trying to teach us, give us a better understanding. And of course, I have always been a fan of science fiction. Alien movies are some of the best. And so I think about that a lot. And of course, in any one of those movies, the big question on everybody's mind, aliens come to Earth, and the big question is, what do they want? Are they here to wipe us out and take all our resources, like Independence Day? Or are we just fighting for our very lives? Are they here to take over our bodies? Are they here to invade and we'll lose our identity? Are they here to test us, to probe us? Are they here to do weird scientific experiments on us? Why are they here? Or, of course, there's the question, are they here to help us? Are they here to give us their advanced technology, help us to overcome cancer or different things in our world, and they know how to do that. And so there's a big question then, what do they want? And the humans always act a lot of fear, a lot of paranoia, even if they say, we mean you no harm, can we really believe that? What is it that they're really up to? And it seems like usually it comes down to the fact that the humans have to make a declaration of why we deserve to live and to thrive. We will not go quietly into that dark night, right? Why do we have the right to fight back, to live? And so this is kind of the idea here. Peter says, I'm writing to all of those living as aliens in the world. The aliens have landed. The aliens are living in the world looking like everybody else. The aliens are us. Because we, as followers of Jesus, are not of this world. As Christians, we do not have the same source of life as the rest of the people who are around us who do not follow Jesus. We have a different leader, a different purpose, a different meaning. We understand that first and foremost, we are citizens of the kingdom of God, not the United States of America. We understand that first and foremost, our obedience is to God, not to ourselves. We understand that first and foremost, we follow the Bible, not the culture. We understand first and foremost that our King is Jesus, not the President of the United States. We understand first and foremost that our identity comes from being in Christ, not from looking inside of ourselves. We understand first and foremost that our purpose comes from pleasing God, not from pleasing ourselves. First and foremost, our desire is to store up treasures in heaven, not trinkets here on earth. We're different. We see the world differently. We see ourselves differently. We're aliens. We're not of this world. And if that's true, if we really believe that, we need to live differently. We need to see that if we have a different focus, a different purpose, a different calling in life, then we need to be an alien. We need to be a follower of Jesus. We need to live according to what He has told us, not according to what the world around us tells us is true. And so, of course, then, like the picture of the aliens in the sci-fi movies, the world wants to know, what are our intentions? Are we here to take over, to invade? Are we here to destroy the way of life? Are we here to help, to give something that they didn't have? And, of course, we would say, well, yeah, we want to help. We come in peace. We want to take you to our leader. And it seems though that the world comes back and says, we're predators. We're invaders. We want to destroy. And so then, well, the question maybe becomes then, what is the world? What do we mean when we talk about the world? And how is it that the world then is coming against us? So let's look
in John chapter 15, some verses that Jesus spoke to his closest disciples. And I want to just give you a little bit of a background here. This is the very end of Jesus' ministry on earth. This is like between the Last Supper and his arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. In John chapters probably 13 through 17 are some of the last teaching that he gives. And he's like, these are some of the most important things that he wants to instill into his disciples before he's going to be gone. It's some things maybe they couldn't handle, couldn't understand, as they, you know, up until this point, until they knew him a certain amount. And now he's trying to pour this into them. And these chapters are some of the best chapters for us to understand our relationship with Christ, even today. But some of it is also him preparing them for how life is going to change. And some things are going to be good. He's been talking about how I'm sending the Holy Spirit to you. Some things are going to be difficult. And that's what these verses are about that we're going to read this morning. So John chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse 18. Jesus says, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name. But they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason." So, first of all, we understand, as we talk about the world, and there's a couple of different ways that the word world is used in Scripture, and sometimes talking about the actual physical world, creation, the universe, what God has created, what God created good. But sometimes, and in this case, and particularly in John, it's talking about a power of darkness. It's talking about the spiritual principalities that come against us, satanic forces, just the overall spiritual atmosphere of this world that has rebelled against God. It's not individuals, it's not people. People are in fact enslaved to this world. So it's not that we're talking about that people are coming against us, but the world is coming against us. And he says, the world is going to hate you. And of course, when we read this, and immediately we think about, you know, historically, and maybe looking around the world today, how much persecution is going on against Christians. And it's certainly going on still today. We don't hear about it maybe as much as we should, but it is definitely still out there. And just to give you a little bit of an example, there's an organization, a Christian organization called Open Doors, that every year compiles data from around the world of persecution that is coming against Christians, and they publish what they call the World Watch. And so just this last month, January, they published their 2018 findings. And they say that now they estimate 245 million Christians in 50 countries are experiencing what they call high levels of persecution. That was compared to 215 million in 2017. So from 215 to 245 million. In 1 year. They also say there are 11 countries that they consider to exhibit extreme persecution against Christians. And just 5 years ago, the only country on that list was North Korea. So there's definitely a lot of persecution against the church today. And one of the most notable changes is the increased state persecution of churches in China. I'm sure that you've heard some about that, that things have gotten very difficult for Christians and churches in China. And then also, there's persecution in India led by Hindu nationalists that are now acting out violently towards Christians and churches. So we can look around the world and we can see, you know, Christians are under the gun. Christians are being attacked. Satan is working against the church in so many different ways. But at the same time, we know, well, you know, here, we're not really experiencing that. You know, things are better. You know, we don't have to worry that there's going to be state police burst in here and arrest us all. Or start shooting or something like that happening. We know that we have freedom, more freedom here. And we shouldn't just say, well, you know, we don't have persecution, or we shouldn't just say, you know, we also shouldn't say that it's the same for us. But we do have struggles. It's a different kind of struggle. But the world definitely still comes against us, even in a country like the U.S. It's more insidious. It's more deceptive. It's more sneaky. But the world hates us. It hated Jesus, and it hates us because we don't belong to the world. And we say, well, how does the world deceive us? How does the world hate us? Well, the world deceives us into thinking that we're on the same path as everybody else, that the purpose in life is to make a lot of money, or to have a lot of materials, or that we should, you know, get Christians all mixed up in the political polarization that we see in our country today. Tell us we're worthless. Tell us that as individuals that we don't have value, that God doesn't care about us, or that the only possible way that we could succeed or have any value in us is what we do out there. And there's so many different lies that the world tells us not to persecute us and kill us and have, you know, physically torture and those sort of things, but instead to make our faith benign, to make Jesus benign in this culture, to make our nature, our nation, our culture, our world think it doesn't matter. You can say you follow Jesus, you can say you don't follow Jesus, and it's not going to be a difference. And that's what the world says, and the world even tries to convince us of those truths. Or those lies. It comes against us and tries to water it down. And Jesus says a rather enigmatic thing in here. He talks about, he says, if I had not come and said the things that I had said and done the things that I had done, they would not be guilty of sin. And I think what Jesus is really trying to get at here is that, not that they wouldn't be guilty of any sin, but they would not be guilty of the sin of rejecting him. In other words, with the coming of Jesus, with the coming of the New Testament, the line between the world and the kingdom of God is clearly defined now. Those who put their faith in Jesus and those who reject Jesus. And that's the sin that they're guilty of, because they have seen Jesus, they have heard what Jesus has to say, they have seen the miracles, the signs that he has done, and they have rejected him. And that's the sin that they're guilty of. And that puts them on the side of the world. There's a clearly defined line. And that means that if we choose to accept Jesus, if we choose to follow him, if we choose to make him the focus of our life, then the world says we are enemies. It's not that we're setting up to go to war. It's that the world is making war on us. The world wants us gone. And it wants to convince us to make compromises. Wants us to convince us to make concessions. Wants to convince us to keep it quiet. Wants us to convince us to just keep it in what we do on Sundays. To hide it away. And so often, we let that happen. So often, we stay quiet. So often, we live like everybody else. And we keep our faith to ourselves. We try to make friends with the world. And I wonder, thinking back to that picture of the aliens coming in a sci-fi movie, who is it that actually should live and thrive? Should it be the world, or should it be those that follow Jesus? And I believe that Jesus teaches us that it should be his followers. That the world is doomed. The world has an end that is coming. Don't get friendly with the world. You're not of the world. The world doesn't have anything to offer but lies and more deceptions. and yet we get friendly with it. Don't get friendly. Pull down strongholds. Don't get friendly. Fight that battle within yourself. Look for what's the truth. Look for the ways that you have compromised. Look for lies that you have believed and fight against it. Stand strong against the evil that comes against you. And again, remind you that we're not talking about fighting against people. We're talking about fighting against principalities. We're talking about fighting against ideologies. We're talking about things that come against us and try to twist our mind and try to twist the way that we see things. Jesus is going to win. The world is going away. The world is going to be punished. The world is going to be defeated. So in the meantime then, let's live like that's true. Let's live like Jesus is the one who's the victor. Let's live like Jesus is the one who is truly our leader. Let's live like Jesus lived. Jesus who was rejected, but he turned to the other cheek. Jesus who was rejected, but he continued to love anyway. Jesus who was rejected, but he continued to help anybody that he could. To speak the truth to anybody who wanted to listen. Who was rejected, but who let himself be led like a lamb to slaughter. In some way that we don't completely understand, I think, Jesus teaches us that there is more power in love and sacrifice than there is in domination. That's one of the big differences between the way the world looks at things and the way that Jesus looks at things. The world says you need to have control. You need to have power. You need to have the tools of power, like money and position and so forth. And if you have this, if you have power and you can control things, then you get to be in charge. And you get to call the shots, and that's what it's all about. That's what success is. And Jesus came and he said something completely different to show us and to teach us, and that was a power of love. That Jesus did not come simply to conquer and to bend everybody to his will, to bring the pain. Jesus came as an example of love. He was always putting people above himself. He was always humbling himself in order to help somebody. He was always willing to reach out to those who had no power. He was always ready to lift people up who nobody else was paying attention to, who nobody else was willing to lift up. And that was the way he lived his life. And even his death on the cross then is him humbling himself, allowing others to exercise that power over him. In order that through his sacrifice and through his love, he could ultimately be the champion. And it's hard for us to understand because we live in a world that is so full of whoever has power calls the shots. And yet the example of Jesus is humble yourself. Give up the power. Lift other people up. Love your neighbor. Jesus taught this and he wants us to continue to express it. And in some way, through that process, there's more power than there is in domination. There's more power in love than there is in the world. There's transformation of us. There's transformation of the people around us. There's transformation of the world that we live in when we learn to live not of this world, but as Jesus lived. I want to remind you as well of Romans chapter 12. Verse 2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Be different. Be different. Do not conform to the world. Instead, allow Jesus to continue the work of transforming you. You have chosen to follow him. You make him your Lord. You make him your Savior. Let him continue to be Lord in your life. Let him continue to call the shots, and he will transform you, make you more alien than the world around you. And then one more scripture, and this one isn't on the screen because I edited it later. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. He says, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. We're not doing the people around us any favors when we try to get friendly with the world. Sometimes we're a little bit embarrassed, or we're not quite sure what to say, or we're not quite sure how it works, and so we just go along with what everybody else is doing. And we just kind of try to keep things to ourselves. We're not doing them any favors when we do that. In fact, we're making it worse for them. And what Paul is trying to teach us here is that if we will live blameless and pure, if we will live following the ways of Jesus, if we will live like Him, let Him transform us and let that come out, that's actually the greatest witness to the people around us that we could present. That we will shine among them like stars. So often, we try to draw it in. We try to keep it to ourselves. We don't want to speak out. We're embarrassed. We're afraid. We're afraid we'll be rejected. We're afraid we'll be persecuted in some way. And we don't say anything. Or we go along with the crowd. Jesus says, be an alien. Be different. Follow me. Yes, the world's going to hate you. And that's just something you're going to have to accept. It's only going to be temporary. Because Jesus is going to win in the end. But for now, accept that the world is going to make you an enemy. Live like it anyway. Don't compromise. Live like an alien. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Jesus, we just praise you that you came to show us a different way. That you came in the power of love to lift us up. To save us from our sin, to save us from our circumstances, to save us from all that we cannot save ourselves from. Lord, we thank you that you spoke out boldly your truth, that you exhibited your love and your power as you lived each day, as you confronted the powers of the day, and as you lifted up those who were weak and powerless. Lord, we thank you that you were not embarrassed, that you did not want to get friendly with the world. But Lord, so often, it's such a difficulty for us. We are bombarded by so many lies, and we hear the lies over and over and over until they actually start to make sense. Lord, open our minds that we can discern between your truth and the world's lies. Open our spirits that we recognize you, that we hear your still small voice among all the yelling and the shouting and the commanding of the world that's around us. And Lord, as we begin to recognize the truth of what is you and what is the world, Lord, give us the courage and the strength to choose your path. Give us the courage and the strength to choose to be alien, to be different, to allow you to be the purpose, the focus, allow you to give us our value. For allow you to speak to us our identity. To allow you to be central to our life. Lord, transform us. As we open our minds, as we open our spirits to receive you. Transform us. And Lord, through our lives, through the way that we live focused on you, let us be a star that shines in the darkness around us. That other people who are enslaved to the world will be free. Lord, we don't want to come against people. We want to rescue people as you rescued people. But Lord, we want to come against these lies and these deceptions of the enemy that not only try to deceive us, but that deceive so many people around us. Lord, we want to push that back, and we want to spread your love, your purpose, your truth to the people around us, that they will be free as we have become free. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.